This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a fine day in Texas.
You've been a little hot, I know.
It has been a little hot. You know, 100, 101, you know. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The old story about, you know, you can cook an egg on the sidewalk. The children went and took an egg outside to see if it'd work.
Did it?
Took a long time. even at 100, it was hard to get the egg to cook out there on the sidewalk.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah, we'd always been told that, you know, you could fry an egg real quick. That isn't true. You know, we believe in checking all the facts. So, I mean, you know, that just didn't happen that way. It was a little different than we'd been told.
So now you're doing science experiments.
That's right, science experiments. It's good for us. You need to do those things.
Yeah. You need to know for yourself.
Everybody needs to know all these things. A lot of things we don't know.
Yeah.
And so we have to experiment and find out, you know, all these things that we should know.
Yeah. Well, you hear it all the time, and so, you know, why take somebody's word for it? Why not just try it out for yourself?
That's right. Do it yourself, and then you'll know for sure. That's what everybody used to tell me. Do it yourself, and you know it's done.
Yeah. You know it's done right.
Done right. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah. Not only done, but done right.
Yeah. Of course, then I kind of believe, you know, it seems it's so strange, though, that we're already past the longest day of the year. So days are starting to already get shorter now. We're like a week away from, can you believe next weekend is July 4th weekend already? It just seems like it was.
That is hard to believe.
I know it. I know.
July the 4th is slipping upon us.
Yes.
Because, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. This month has went really fast.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And, you know, school's out. Things are happening. Oh, my gosh. It's amazing all the things are going on.
Yeah. We'll be talking about back to school before you know it. And, you know, then
I know it.
You've got, you know, then we're into the fall season and then the holidays. And, my goodness, it's already, like, what, next weekend, I think, not only is it July 4th weekend, but then they have, like, all the Christmas in July things. You know, sales and specials and movies on TV, and it's just, what's
That's
happened
right.
this
and
year?
I don't like Christmas movies in July, I just have to tell you. I just don't. I'm not ready. You know, I'm not ready.
I will tell you.
Oh, my gosh, you know.
There are places that have Christmas movies on, like, Friday nights, I think it is. And we watch them, even now.
Wow. That tells me you've got too much time on your hands if you can watch that.
Yeah.
did you watch the Westminster Dog Show this week?
No.
In New York City?
New York
My
City?
My gosh, it's a big deal. Yeah, New York City.
I heard about it, but I didn't even see it. Dang it.
Oh, my gosh. The dog that won this year is shocking. It's a bloodhound.
Really?
A bloodhound best in show at Westminster Dog Show.
Has that ever happened?
They've never had a bloodhound win in its life.
Yeah. Wow.
This is a red bloodhound, and he won. I mean, there's a little pug that won in his class. there was a chow that won in his. Oh. And then there was four big winners that went up against this bloodhound, and they gave it to the bloodhound.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, first time.
Literally, history in the making right there.
History in the making. They said there was over 3,000 dogs that participated this year in the Westminster Dog Show.
3,000? Really?
Yeah. And a lot of them didn't even get to first base. You know, they were eliminated real early in the game.
Wow.
But they say it takes $60,000 to take one dog to Westminster.
Oh, my goodness.
So it is for the elite. It's not for the ordinary person.
No.
No. And all these people that go there, you know, they spend either their training for a year or two, or they hire a trainer. A lot of them have their trainer that shows them in the ring instead of the owner. And that costs a lot to have a trainer to not only train your dog, but to show it and to go to New York with it.
Wow.
And then a lot of the owners are there in the crowd, and their trainer is in the ring.
Yeah, the owners are like, I guess, on the sidelines watching.
Yes, they are. And they're so proud. And there's a lot of famous people that have dogs there every year.
Really?
Yeah, I can remember over the years, a lot of the people on television had dogs at the show. And they showed their dogs every year, you know. And they were all so proud if their dog won. It is a big prestigious deal if your dog can win Westminster.
Yeah, that is a big deal. I didn't realize it cost like $60,000 to even be in it.
Yes, wow. I had asked someone one time, and they told me what it cost. They said it's about $60,000 to take a dog up there. All the training that goes into it, the trainer, you have to pay them. All the expenses, the registration, staying at the hotel. I mean, there's a lot of things involved.
Wow. You got to must think that you really have an actual chance of winning just to even want to compete or take it that far.
Well, and if your shows, even if it doesn't win, if it placed, that's a good thing. It may win the next year if it placed this year.
Yeah. Wow.
And then there's several that have won two or three years in a row. That little small terrier that they used to put in the Loving Cup, it was so small, it won several years.
Really? Like, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, it's a big deal. I love to watch it. I love all the dogs, and they are groomed to perfection.
Yeah.
You know, they're snipped, they're trimmed, they're bathed. Oh, my gosh.
Honestly, yeah. Some of them are better groomed and better behaved than some people.
That's exactly right. I mean, they are pampered to the 10th degree. So, it is an interesting thing.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMedlin.com. And people can go there. They can listen to past stories. I have a lot of people that want to be sure the archives is up to date, that they can watch stories from a month ago, a week ago, 2 weeks ago. You can do that. You can look and see what people have made, how much they've made. And there's just a lot of information there that a person should see.
And, you know, you bring up a good point, because a lot of people they'll hear you say something interesting. It's like, wait, what was that? And you can't necessarily rewind it when you're listening to the live show. But, you know, when people go to the site and then they pull up those archives, they can go back and listen to it. And people listen to them all the time, you say, you know, especially people out of town, things like that, and chock full of information.
Yes, and when they're on vacation, I've got several people that are up in the mountains in New Mexico every summer, and they can go back and listen because they can't get television lots of times and things, but they can go back and listen to all of our shows, and they do. So they always have their computer with them, so they can go back and listen. And on Saturday, they can do the show, you know, on their screen rather than doing it live.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some of the highlights from this past week? Where are we?
This has been a red letter week. I mean, you talk about great and wonderful. On Thursday of this week, we had three maturities.
In one day?
Three and a half, yes, in $3.5 million worth this week on Thursday. Now, one of them is a Slavic policy. We had two of his policies. And what's really funny, I had two calls this week saying, Faye, it had never matured. When do you think it's going to mature? And I looked at it and I said, I'm telling you, the guy's sick. I think it'll be very soon. Of course, nobody believes me sometimes. The guy, when we bought it, he was 60 years old in 2019. He had stage 4 cancer. It spread to the lungs. And by golly, he died this week. And each policy is $1 million.
Wow.
So everybody's going to get paid. Several people had $100,000, and it was 18%. They're getting $118,000 back.
Wow. Whoa,
yes.
That's huge.
It is huge. And can you imagine, we had two of them. Not one policy, but we had two. $2 million worth of policies on Zachary Slavin. So everybody is getting paid, and they're going to be joyful because it was time to make another payment. We're going to send out notices, do not pay. Now, that's the best news we've ever had. $2 million right there this Thursday morning. And then Robert Lee. Now, we've got to do a drum roll. We've got to have dancing in the streets. Robert Lee is that old policy I talk about on the radio all the time.
Is this
all
from
the
like
time.
2014 or something like that, a long time ago?
2014, Robert Lee, one of the first policies we ever did. So we've talked about it. Would it ever come due? Would it ever come due? Thursday morning, I was looking at my computer, and it said Robert Lee has died. I go, it can't be.
Wow.
How could that be happening? And I looked at it right quick, and sure enough, Robert Lee has passed away. No more high premiums, folks. The premium is gone on Robert Lee.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, the premiums were high because it was so old and he was so old. And I've been helping people with the payments. I mean, you know, I was paying 25% of it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So it was hurting me as well as them because I was having to pay part of their premium. But I did it willingly, and I'm glad I did. And I'm glad it's over.
Wow. And so what?
But there's going to be a lot of money coming to a lot of accounts in the next 6 weeks.
Wow. So what is that? Did you say that's like a total of like $3 million in one day?
It's over $3
million. Jeez.
$3.5 million in one day.
Wow.
We have never, in 20 years I've been in business, I've never had $3.5 million in one day.
Goodness gracious. That's big
news. And all these people that are always saying, oh, I don't know if I should have done this. I haven't got paid yet. Let me tell you something. When the payday comes, it's usually big.
Evidently.
You know? I mean, really big.
Yeah, well, you know, like you say all the time, you know, a lot of times they'll come in threes or, you know, it's just like it's feast or famine or, you know, it's the law of the averages and all these things that you talk about. It's just like, you know, at some point, you know, when people go through that dry spell and they're like, well, you know, policies are not, they're not maturing. And so then all of a sudden you get news like what happened on Thursday and it's like,
but
hey,
we always have three.
Yeah.
I've told them. If you have one, you'll have two more. And I don't know why, but they come in threes.
Wow.
So this is a lot of money. A lot of people had $100,000. And Robert Lee, they had $250,000 in some of that. So they're getting a lot of money. Some people are going to get like $300,000 back.
My goodness. Whoa.
I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, people are going to get a lot of money. It's an amazing deal, you know, that you could get this much back. And they're going to be so glad because they hadn't thought about it. I think they're like me. They're thinking, oh, I don't know when that old thing is going to mature,
yeah.
You know, because we keep wondering, you know, when's that thing going to mature? And here it matured. And, of course, I was looking immediately, you know, to see how much they're going to get.
Yeah.
And it's a lot. And as I said, a lot of them, you know, had such a big amount in there. You know, I just can't imagine that they had 250,000 and all this in this, you know.
Wow.
But they did. They had a lot in it. So
wow.
It's really great. As I said, a lot of these people, back then we were letting them put in a lot of money, you know. And now we wouldn't do that, you know. Usually you can't put more than, you know, $100,000 in.
Yeah.
And, we don't usually allow that. But back then, you know, you could put a lot more in. So they've got a lot of money coming back. Let me just say that.
Wow. Then that is some big – I should have asked you about that first.
I know. You should have asked me first thing this morning. You know, Faye, how's everything going? And I said, oh, my gosh, it's wonderful. But, you know, this policy, the Lee policy, let me tell you how many people was in it, if I can count that high. I mean, it's a lot. Let's see. It looks like there's about 20 people in that thing.
Wow.
And like this one guy, he had 155,000 in it. He's getting back 168, you know, and this is a long time ago. One guy's got 204. He's getting back 220,000.
Jeez.
One guy's got 90. He's getting 100. I mean, it's big money.
That is. That is some good profits for it sounds like a bunch of people, too.
Yes. And one guy had 200. He's getting 216. Because back then, I think they were going to make, let's see how much they were going to make. The return was 8.61 back then.
Oh, geez.
So it wasn't as high as it is nowadays.
Wow.
Yeah, nowadays people make a lot more than that. Anyway, even 8%. And then if it depends how long it takes them to pay, depending on that, they'll get interest on their money.
Jeez.
And it'll take longer because it's Transamerica. They're always slow paying. So we'll probably get some pretty good interest on it.
Wow. And that is some
big news. The main thing is they're getting paid. We thought it would never happen. It's a miracle, and we're extremely proud that the Robert Lee policy has matured.
How are we on the stock market? Are people still panicking?
Well, yes. We have several people coming over to talk to us because they don't want to get caught in this thing. If we do have a depression, you know, they don't want to be in the stock market when it happens. So I think that's a big concern for people right now is the stock market is up, it's down, and everybody has lost all the gains they'd made over the last 2 years. So a lot of people, it is down, even though it may be up a little every day. They've got some big losses. So unless they want to go into this depression, you know, with still losing more, they're going to get out. They may go back in later, but most of them are going to get out, get into a traditional investment like ours, and ride it out. They're not going to try to ride it out with the market just churning like it is, up and down.
Now, I know we've talked about recession, and I know we've talked about a super recession. I don't believe that I've heard you until just now say the D word. Is that?
Well, the more I read, they're telling me the stock market's going to lose another 45% before it's over.
Wow.
And everything that the government's doing is just making it worse. They're not helping the situation. So that's what all these people are saying, like Kudlow, all these people that really watch the market every day, that sees what people are spending, how high things are. And this is what's going to cause all this is the rate that everything is going. You know, I'll give you, for instance, in past years, Southwest Airlines, from here to Amarillo, from Dallas to Amarillo, you know, it's like $69. They advertise this all these years. What do you think it costs now to fly to Amarillo?
Well, I don't know. What I saw this week that an average ticket is about $400. So I'm going to go around $300.
No, you're exactly right.
Really?
One way.
Wow.
From here to Amarillo is $300. So round trip is $600 right now.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, I've never seen it that high. And the airlines are short of pilots. They're stressed. They're stretched out. They're cutting a lot of places they fly. American Airlines has cut a lot of theirs, like Toledo, Ohio, all those northern cities. They've cut out four cities. So they've got a pilot shortage. Pilots say they're overworked, underpaid, and they're not happy. And a lot of them are striking.
Yeah.
So everything's kind of in a mess.
Well, I'd seen also, and I don't know if it was, excuse me, I don't know if it was last weekend or the weekend before, but I had seen that there was something like 2,000 flights that were canceled just because of that very thing. And people were trying to get places, you know, long delays. And then, you know, they would have like a flight that would maybe leave like in the morning, then was pushed back a couple hours, pushed back again. And then like, you know, 11:30 at night, the flight would get canceled and people are stranded. And there's just no, it just doesn't seem like there's any kind of relief in sight. I saw another report that said because of all this, and the rising costs, and flights being delayed and canceled, and people getting stranded because of all that perfect storm, people are not—they're planning on changing their summer vacation plans. They're now probably planning on driving instead of flying.
Yes, this is what I've been told, that it's just too expensive to fly, and the hotels right now, if you're going anywhere, you know, they're very expensive.
Yes.
So a family vacation, instead of being $1,000 right now, I mean, it's about $4,000.
Yeah, easily. And then as people are, if they know that people are going to be driving more, guess what that's going to do to the gas prices because of supply and demand? It's like,
that's exactly right.
This perfect storm that just keeps feeding itself. And then when you say the D word on top of it, I know that, you know, the feds are trying to, you know, raise interest rates to try and battle it. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like that's going to be enough to combat this. It seems like this is not going to end well no matter what. It's just,
I don't think it's going to end well. I think you're right about that. I think everything's going to get so high and it's going to crash is what I think is going to happen. And this has happened many times before when people didn't look out, weren't paying attention, and weren't thinking about it, you know, weren't taking steps to sidestep this.
Yeah. What did I see?
That's what they should be doing.
There was something that I saw. It was another report this week that said that, and I don't know if most people see it or not, but on your restaurant bill, if you go out to eat someplace, now there are some charges that are showing up on your bill. It's they call it different things, like restaurant convenience fee or something like that. They're phrasing it in different ways. For real, they're using different phrases to justify it, but it'd be like $2, $3, something like that. It'll just show up on your restaurant receipt, and that's what they're starting to do to combat, you know, rising prices. Instead of raising menu prices, they're just throwing these fees in there. Yes.
Well, there was a restaurant owner this morning that said, I'll tell you how bad the shortage is of help. He said, I'm now in the kitchen cooking steaks. He said, I'm cooking 200 steaks a day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he's having to do. And a lot of restaurants have closed around. You know, I've seen a lot of restaurants that we're just closing up. We can't get any help. The thing is bad. They're in those northern states that are run so crazy, that have so many taxes. And how about the meat company? They're leaving California. They're closing their plants. They said there's so many fees, so many regulations, that it's not worth it. All these companies that have moved to Texas.
Yeah.
Because the taxes are so high, the regulations, you can't make a living. Why stay in a state like that?
Exactly. It just doesn't make any sense anymore.
No. And if when you get through, you owe all the money in taxes, you need to wake up and get out of town.
Yeah. Well, you know, even to relocate like that, I mean, that is a heavy undertaking. That is a very costly thing. It's not just, you know, deciding if you want a ham sandwich or a turkey sandwich for lunch. There's a lot of cost and a lot of expense and a lot of, you know, planning, strategic things that have to happen in order to relocate. And if that makes more sense than staying, that's a big sign, because that's taking a huge undertaking to avoid these fees.
That's right. And there was a company in Oregon, I forget what kind of company it was, and they were moving to Phoenix.
Really?
They said, you know, we're getting out of town. We can't make a living here. The crime is so bad. You know, they're defunding the police. They don't want to protect us and our businesses. And they were moving to Phoenix fast as they could.
Ooh.
And they said, we can do business there. It's a non-union state. The crime rate's down. You know, it's going to be a better environment for our family.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of people are leaving California. The environment is so bad. Politics are so bad. And they are letting people out of jail with no bond. No bond.
Are you serious?
Then they go out and kill somebody else. No, no bond.
Wow.
No cash bond, folks. You can just get out on your say-so.
Wow. We'll just get out of jail free. You just open the doors.
That's basically what they're saying. Okay, come on, criminals. You'll do good here in California.
yeah. Head out there.
Yeah. So the decent people are saying, you know, we need to go and live somewhere else because the crime has just gotten so bad. The regulations are bad. And they're either going to Phoenix or they're going to Texas or Florida. That's the three states where people are going.
Ah, yeah. Wow, I did not realize that all that was going on. I hadn't even heard about all that.
Yes.
Goodness gracious.
Yep.
Wow, so it's just one layer on top of an already burning inferno that's going on under the underneath.
Yes.
Wow.
That's right. Man. And a lot of these people said, you know, we can move our whole business and survive, but we're not going to survive here. We might as well, we've either got to do it or go out of business.
It's sad when when those are your choices. It's like go out of business or move. Wow.
That's right. That's a sad day. And then, of course, the schools have gone to corrupt completely. So if they want their kids to go to a decent school, they've got to get out of California.
So people are pretty much just looking at the whole picture and just saying, you know, it's time to make some changes.
That's right. It says, you know, we don't have to live here. We can live somewhere else in peace. In peace, that's the key to it.
Yeah. Wow. Man.
Yes.
So if we do have a like a literal depression, what? Because I'm sure people are going, oh my gosh, depression. That's the key word here. That's the danger word. And so,
that's right.
What do we do to be proactive? How do we hang on?
Well,
to something?
Your investments need to be secure. You need to be in a conservative investment that can't go down. That would be my first thought. You know, if I'm ever going to retire, you've got to have investments that are safe. You've got to have conservative investments. You've got to be diversified. You don't want to wake up one morning and the stock market has went down so far you're never going to recover. Because remember, if it goes down too far, you're going to work the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, there isn't going to be that sweet retirement where you can fish and golf all the time. So, you know, that would be my first thought. Get all your investments safe. Make sure everything is paid off. You know, if you said, you know, I might as well pay the house off. Good idea. And do something that you know that your family will be safe. You know, that's the whole key to it. You know, make sure that your money is safe, that your investments are solid, and that you don't read in the paper something that's going to scare you to death, you know?
Yeah.
That you're not going to pick up on the web and it says, well, today, you know, the stock market's crashed completely. I mean, you would never recover, I don't believe, from that.
Well, you know, in 29, obviously I wasn't here, but, you know, from everything you see and you read in 1929, when everything crashed, people pulled out all their money from the banks, essentially stuck it under a mattress. It wasn't worth anything, but they stuck it under a mattress and they just hunker down and they stop, you know, doing any kind of investments. They say, I'm just going to hold on to what I've got. Just to make sure I don't lose any more. And that doesn't seem, it seems counterintuitive, but you're saying that that's not a good idea, right? To keep investing.
I would just put down the mattress because nowadays we have thieves. So that would be a bad idea. Somebody, they always slip and tell somebody. Did you know that?
Yeah.
They always slip and tell somebody, well, I put it in the backyard or I put it under the mattress or I put it in the cookie jar. You know, it's not a good idea anymore. it's better to have your money invested. It's good to have it in a safe place where you know that you're safe. Don't do all these internet scams. Mm. I read about them every day where people have lost millions and millions. And these people can think up more things on a day-to-day basis than we can get out of, you know?
Right.
I read every day where they're trying to get everybody's money back. And, you know, stay away from that stuff. Do business with people you know. Do it here in Texas. You know, I had a CPA years ago, and he got a call from New York City, and this broker touted him on the stock. Oh, it's a hot stock. And he didn't even know the guy. He gave him $80,000 and lost it all.
No.
Yeah. And he was a CPA. He should have known better.
Wow.
You don't do business with somebody over the phone from New York City.
Wow.
You know? But they do. People do it all the time.
It's easy to fall for, I'm sure, at some point.
Yeah. And and these little old ladies, these guys will call them on the phone and going to get them to invest in this stuff. And before you know, they've got the money out of your account.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah, they take
mind-boggling.
It's gone in a hurry, and then you can't find them anymore, and they disappear. And
you can't find them. Your money is gone. How do you tell the family that you just lost your money? I mean, it's so serious.
Yeah,
that it's just scary. So I'm saying, invest in solid things. Make sure it's guaranteed. Make sure your principal's always safe. You can make it as long as your principal's safe. So that's my recommendation. Always have your principal safe. Do life settlements. That's one option. Do annuities. The annuities are not ever going anywhere. They don't pay as much. But you know what? An annuity is as solid as it comes. If all those people in the stock market had annuities, they'd be laughing right now. They wouldn't be crying, I can tell you. If they had life settlements, they'd say, you know, it's a good, safe investment. I know where my principal is. Always know where your principal is. That it's not in some thing that you don't even understand or don't even know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're talking about protecting the principal, if something was to happen, anybody who's in a life settlement is fine because of the reserves that life insurance companies have on hand. Is that right?
That's right. Because remember, the life insurance is the one that's going to pay you. They are the one that issues the life policy. So you know that when the time comes, they'll pay off. Life insurance companies always pay. It's not like a bank. It's not like stock market. It's different. They have more reserves up than anybody. And remember, when you're in the stock market, there's no reserves on that account. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
There's not anything to guarantee it. If the bottom falls out, the bottom falls out. If it goes up, it goes up. But it's not guaranteed any way in the world. But a life insurance policy, you've got a guarantee because you know that life insurance company that issued it has the money. They have reserves up to cover it, so you'll always get that money back. So you know, that's a safe deal. If you do annuity, those life companies have reserves. Again, it's a life insurance company. It's issued by life insurance companies that are huge. And as long as you're with a big company, you'll make good money. Some of the others don't pay as well. Somebody may come and talk to you about, and you go, well, how much has it paid in the last 10 years? What has it paid this year, last year? What's their net worth? You know, if it's $1 million, you're in deep trouble. But if they say $60 billion, like the companies that we represent, they've been in business over 100 years, and they've got $60 billion in assets.
Wow. That's
you know,
that's too big to
ignore.
That's
a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you and I could count to 60 billion. It'd take a while, wouldn't it?
It would take a minute. Yeah.
It would take a little while to do that.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I can see how people would say, you know, geez, you know, there's all these things that are going on. I'm just going to cut off everything. I'm just going to hold on to stuff. I'm just going to leave my some people may just leave it there and not do any investing, or they may just, you know, start pulling things out. And it seems it's difficult to get to that place where it's just like, you know, this storm is going on all around me, and I'm going to go ahead and open myself up, and I'm going to not only not hunker down, which is what your instinct is to do, but I'm going to go ahead and extend, and I'm going to, you know, invest in, you know, in things actively, life insurance policies or annuities, you know, whichever route they wanted to take. You know, it almost seems like it's one of those things where it's just like, I can't, you know, mentally you get that block, and it's just like all these things are going on. I need to be conservative. In reality, the conservative investment of a life insurance policy is even more, I guess, conservative than hanging on to your money and not doing anything. Am I phrasing that the right way, or is that crazy?
I think it is. The people that are with us, you know, they've been with us a long time. A lot of people have made a tremendous amount of money. We didn't make them rich, but we've made them a good income. Then there's other people right now. They've got four or five policies that are over, but they know that policy is guaranteed. They know they'll get paid. Yes, it may be late, but usually if one hits, there'll be three, and hopefully it's in yours. So relax. Know that your money is safe. Know that they're all mature. They're not going to always mature exactly like we plan, but they will mature, and that's important to know, that you have policies that will mature. You're going to make money, and you're not going to lose your investment. That principal is always safe.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really the thing that you seem to stress a lot, is making sure you protect the principal, and that's exactly what this does.
And then be diversified.
Oh.
You can't put all your money in one policy. That would be a bad sign. Don't do that. Always put it in several policies.
I think I know the answer, but why is diversifying so important?
Okay, if you have one policy and that's all you've got and it goes over, you're not going to have any income coming in.
Mm.
But if you've got several, you'll have income coming in. And that's what you're interested in. You want that interest. So instead of having no interest for 3 or 4 years, you'll have interest for more than one policy. And that's the way it ought to be.
Gotcha. So it's almost like it leapfrogs. One policy will come in, and then people get paid, and then reinvest in another one. While that's happening, another one comes in, reinvest in another one, and it just kind of keeps the whole thing moving instead of just waiting on one.
I think we've, in the last 3 months, I think we've had 4 million come in.
Oh, wow.
In policies.
Holy.
Yeah, I think it's about 4 now.
Ooh.
When I last reported, I think it was 3. I think we're up to 4 million now in maturities. So a lot of people have had maturities. They've got money in their banks. They can invest again. A lot of good things are happening on our side.
Wow, that's an eye-opener. That's a big number.
Yes.
Ooh, wow.
It is a big number. But we've had a lot of policies come in.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of them are small, but it all spends.
Okay.
If it's a $250,000 or $400,000. Whoever's in it, you know, if it's got 50,000, 60 in it, so they got paid.
Yeah.
And then we've got several that haven't even gotten to the bank yet. I think I've got 2 more or 3 that are not even at the bank.
Hmm. So, and it seems like, you know, even and I'll just hit on this before we get into trivia, but it seems like, whereas a lot of people, like in the stock market, they're saying, you know, I'm not really getting anything in here at all. I'm really starting to see the negatives get higher and higher. And so they're starting to lose money. The bottom is starting to fall out. But in life settlements, people are actually seeing profits. And I guess when you come down to it and put it in basic terms, that's pretty much what that's how it lays out, right?
That's right. And I had an old man about 3 weeks come to me. He had a lot of Exxon stock, And he said, you know, I'm worth a lot of money. But he said, I think I want to get part of my money out of the stock market. So he put quite a bit with us because he's been in the stocks all this time. And his wealth, he can see how much he's fixing to lose. So he put quite a bit of money with us to diversify again, to get out of the stock market and make sure some of this money is guaranteed.
Awesome. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, we're going to talk about the Texas flag.
Oh, cool.
A lot of people don't even know everything about our Texas flag. Let me mention, first of all, that 25-foot flag I've had that I couldn't get up, it's up.
Yay.
It's flying very nicely again. It's looking great.
Cool.
So, and everybody should have a 25-foot pole, by the way, where it'll show up.
Yeah.
Now, this last week, we had National Flag Day. And it reminds us that Texas, you know, we have a real affection for our state flag. We've got it in buildings. We've got it on homes. It's on merchandise, including cowboy boots, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
But in Texas, it means a lot. And I got to thinking about all the facts about Texas flag that a lot of people don't know. And a lot of people, they don't even remember that we've had six flags, and this was six different countries that controlled us.
Really?
Spain controlled us at one time. France controlled us. We were under Mexico, the Republic of Texas, and the Confederate States of America, and then the United States. It tells the story of a deep history behind the state of Texas.
Huh.
And the people who designed the state flag, no one knows. Can you imagine?
Really?
They've tried to identify the designer, and these people had a vexillologist, Charles Spain, and he explained the difficulty in it. The design was proposed in 1836. This was at our convention of 59 delegates with the Texas Constitution and our Declaration of Independence. Because the records are incomplete for 1836, it doesn't tell who designed it. And they've been trying all these years to find out. But the design isn't described. Historians have been able to trace it, but they can't find who the identity is, and that's always going to remain a mystery of who did our Lone Star flag, so we don't know. Now then, several years ago, everybody said it. Well, in fact, it was 2001. The Vexillologist Association said, let's rate the flags all across the United States. There were 72 flag designs, United States and Canada. 29,000 individuals cast votes, even from 20 countries, and that shouldn't have been allowed. And half of U.S. state flags had an average score of less than a 4.
Really?
Now, Texas came in second behind New Mexico. Can you imagine that?
Huh.
Out of 29,000 votes, Texas should have come in first.
Yeah.
We're always first.
I know it.
Now, then, we had a seventh flag that most people don't know about. Laredo, Texas has flown the seventh flag, the flag of the Republic of the Rio Grande. Now, remember, the Republic only lasted 10 months. But in 1840, this one was never officially recognized, but it was established in just a short time. The leaders of the Republic set up a Capitol building, a president, a cabinet, and a flag to the Republic of the Rio Grande. You can go to the Rio Grande Museum and see the flag and a lot of other flags from back then. But no, most people don't know we had a seventh flag fly over Texas.
I had no idea.
And in our Texas Capitol, we've got the original battle flag of San Jacinto. It hangs in the House of Representatives since 1933.
Really?
Now, you can book a tour at the Texas Capitol, but it's only when the House is in session that it's on display. When they're not in, they replace it by reproduction.
Really?
It's only if they're in session that you get to see the battle flag of San Jacinto.
I did not know that.
Huh. Yeah. Now, if you want to see a lot of historic flags, the Bullock Museum has got a copy and some originals of a lot of our historic flags. And you have to know when you can go there. Now then, a lot of people think that the Texas flag, if you have it up, it can be an example right by the United States flag. And, of course, it's not supposed to be advertised or you're not supposed to be using it on magazines or, you know. And in inclement weather, you're supposed to always take your flag down. Now, if you're flying it, it should be displayed horizontally. The white stripe should be on top in case, unless it's distress. And we still change it if there was an emergency. But Texas, everybody thinks, and this is a myth, that only the Texas flag can be displayed at the same height as the flag of the United States. All states are permitted to display their flags at the same height. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. When the flags are displayed on the same flagpole, the state flag must fly below the U.S. flag.
Okay.
And if you're carrying them in a procession, the U.S. flag must fly on the state's right side. There's a lot of etiquette about our flags that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
Now then, the largest Texas flag is 100 feet by 100 feet long, 100 feet wide, 100 feet long. It's the world's largest Texas flag. It's handled by the University of Texas, the Alpha Phi Omega fraternity. A flag weighs 450 pounds.
Wow.
It takes 60 members to get the flag up.
Wow.
This flag was a gift to Texas Governor Price Daniel by Mississippi Governor Ross Barnett at the 1962 Cotton Bowl, and I remembered that. It was between the Texas Longhorns and Ole Miss. And you can see this massive flag at pregame shows at the Texas Longhorn games in Austin. 100 feet wide, 100 feet long, and it weighs 450 pounds.
That's huge.
Now, you can't say we do things small.
No. We'll prove it right there. That proof is
now
in the pudding.
That's right. The flag of Texas, a lot of people don't know this, the red, white, and blue has a very great significance. The colors represent first, the red is for bravery, the white is for purity, and the blue is for loyalty.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. And upon the flag's adaptation in 1839, it was proposed that the red stand for war, the white for peace, and blue for friendship.
Huh.
Yeah. So that tells you about our flag. Bravery, purity, and loyalty.
Well, I feel like I should have known that. I'm kind of shocked and maybe slightly ashamed that I didn't. Wow.
Now then, the Texas flag is the only flag in the country that has served as the flag of a recognized independent country.
Really?
Because we were an independent country for 10 months. Can you imagine? That's why our flag is so important. It is. It means more to Texans than these other flags of these other states.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they were never an independent. They were never a country. They were never seen over from all these other countries that took over Texas at one time or another. And so our flag is more important to us, I think, than any flag in the United States.
Well,
and the symbol of it.
Yeah, you know, you look at a lot of other states' flags, and it's like a lot of them have these real intricate, fancy designs. Nobody could probably reproduce them if you had to draw it on a piece of paper. Nobody could tell you what any of it means. Most people, I would venture to say, probably don't even know what their state flag looks like outside of Texas. And so you just
can't. No, and most people don't know the meaning.
Yeah.
And the Texas flag really means something. You know, it's not just symbolism. people fought and died for this flag.
Yeah. Literally.
And then, of course, you know, yes, literally, years ago in the 1800s and before, people were fighting for Texas to be a state and a country without belonging to Mexico or Spain or all these other countries that were trying to take over. So they had their own constitution, their everything like any other country, but it only lasted for 10 months.
Wow.
You know, it's too bad that couldn't have been permanent.
I was waiting for it. I didn't know if you were going to say it or...
You didn't think I'd have the guts to say that.
I didn't think you would.
Oh, my gosh. But when you see a rodeo in Texas, you will see the horses with the little blue on their ankles. They'll have the blue blankets. They'll have the blue stars on their pants. They'll each one will be carrying the Texas flag. And it's quite a scene, you know, to see. It looks great when you see all these Texas flags flying and the people in the ring. I guess that's why I love rodeos, because I love them to come out with the Texas flag flying and going around the circle. And they have the stars on their pants. You know, they've got the blue shirts, the white hats. I mean, I'm always impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got to be the exact, like if somebody tries to recreate one and it's not the right shade of blue or not the right shade of red, you know, I mean, it stands out. It's like, oh, something is a little bit off. And so, you know, it's so ingrained and so distinct and so identifiable. People know when there's something that's not quite right with it.
That's right. And, you know, it's the Lone Star State. That's why we've got the star on our flag.
Yeah.
So I just want people to remember all the things about our flag, because we just had Flag Day. And I said, do people remember all these things?
No.
You know, about our flag, what it stands for, what the colors stand for, and how long ago this was done.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I should have known all these things, and maybe I did at one point, and I maybe just forgot them. But boy, it's good to have a good reminder and a good refresher course on all this, because there's so much symbolism behind it and so much history behind it. These are things we don't want to forget. We shouldn't forget.
We don't want to forget, and it should be taught in school. I don't know what they're teaching nowadays, but I know even little children should know this about their state, about what we think about our flag and what it means to us as Texans.
Yeah.
And so everybody should have a course in this.
Yeah. And some states will change their flag, or they'll, you know, switch things up and they'll redesign it or whatever. I don't think that's ever going to happen. I think this is going to stay in place specifically for a reason, to remember all these things that
I
you brought up.
I think people would come out fighting. Some dingbat says, well, we're going to change the Texas flag. I believe they'd grab them by the throat and choke them.
That would never happen.
No. Say, not our flag, old boy.
No way.
It's kind of like boots and jeans.
Yes.
The flag and boots and jeans. That's it, folks.
Yeah. It's like this is it's almost like, you know, if you were to I guess encapsulate the persona of the people here, this is what it is. You know, like you say, the flag, boots, jeans, hats, you know, this is who we are. It's symbolic.
This is who we are. You're right.
Yeah.
And we're mighty proud of it.
Yes. Yeah, we are. And probably I would say we're probably more proud than any other state in the country.
Oh, I believe that. I've always heard that Texans boast, you know, we're loud, but we're proud.
Well, geez, look at all the stuff that we have in the shape of Texas. I mean, we've got, you know, Texas.
That's exactly right.
There's no other state that does that. You know, you name it, and we've got it in the shape of the state. And you just don't see that anywhere else.
And our boots, a lot of the boots have got the Texas flag on them.
Yeah,
a lot of things have the Texas flag on them because we are very proud of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you don't see that in other states. They're not that proud of where they're at.
Mm-mm. No. In fact, most people probably don't even know any of the history behind, anything to do with their state. Not like here, anyway.
That's exactly right.
Wow, that's good. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I know we were kind of comparing, a lot of the risks with the stock market and other investments and really just kind of like the whole financial landscape as a whole. And people are really, really scared about all the risks if they do stay on Wall Street. With a life settlement, though, there are three risks. They're relatively, we generally talk about how they're not quite as big as what they may sound like, especially when one has to be accredited to do a life settlement. But now I think we can take it one step further and compare these risks to, other things that people may be doing now. And then you get calls about this all the time about how, the stock market's too risky. So relatively speaking, this is really not that bad. So what are the three risks involved with a life settlement?
Well, the first and the greatest risk to everybody is the premiums. If the premiums go, if it runs out of escrow money, can you pay the premiums? Is it too much for you? And it should be 3% or less. We're trying to get all that down where it's like less than 2%. If you can't pay premiums, you shouldn't do it. So that is your biggest risk is, yes, I can pay premiums. I had someone complain this week, and their premiums were so low, my office said, I think they're just bored, Faye, and need somebody to talk to. And I believe that because it was very small. I went and looked it up. So, the premiums, that's your first risk. Your second risk, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. When it matures, you get your money. You can take some money out. You can leave it all in. You can reinvest it quickly. And that's what most people do. They reinvest quickly. They don't want their money just sitting there. The third risk is if a life insurance company should ever go under. And we've not had a real life insurance company go under in years because they do have so many billions of dollars. In fact, the Chinese have bought one of our big companies. I mean, I can't even believe they'd let the Chinese buy a Texas company. Not a Texas company, excuse me, a U.S. company.
Huh.
But they did. So that's just unheard of. I don't know if it's a Hong Kong company, but I did read that they bought a big life insurance company.
I hadn't heard that one. Wow.
Yeah, I did hear that.
Okay, so in our last few seconds, when people are looking at the whole thing, they're stepping back and they're saying, okay, look, I know that we talked about the recession, then it got escalated to a super recession, and now they're talking about a possible depression coming. So we know that there's some rough waters ahead. This is not going to probably auto-correct itself like it sometimes tends to do without a few bumps and scrapes along the way. So when people are looking at things and they're saying, okay, I've been investing in Wall Street for a long time. This is really dangerous. I don't want to keep going. In fact, I want to pull back from investing altogether. Not the right thing to do. What would you say to somebody in that situation?
Well, if they want out of it, if they want to pull back, I would say, they should do it now before it gets worse. I'd pull back and I'd take as much money out as I know that I want to be guaranteed. If you still want to be in rough waters, that's up to you. But if you say, I don't think my family can stand it if I lose all of our retirement money, then you should get out. You should put some of it in cash, some of it in a life settlement, maybe some in an annuity. Hmm. Yeah. But do something that's conservative. Don't go and do a REIT just because a REIT has high interest rates. You can't get your money out for 25 to 30 years, folks.
Yikes.
You're stuck. Once you do a REIT, it's over. You're there at their mercy for 25 years.
Wow.
And if you want to be there for 25, that's okay. But if you don't, stay away from REITs. So it's just my personal opinion. It won't be the opinion of the brokerage house. Okay?
Of course not.
That's a Faye Bagby thing.
Well, it's good, solid advice. So, all right. So people who want to maybe come over, maybe have a conversation, maybe get into their own specific situation, get some information. Maybe they want to go ahead and move forward with either annuities or life settlements, something like that. I assume you've got some availability this coming week. Yes.
Yes, and they need to either send me an email or call. They can call. They're going to talk to me. They need to talk to me because I'm the one that's going to tell them how to do it, okay? So I encourage them to call me, send an email, and I'll call you back. I'll go over everything with you, the facts, how to do it, where your money's going to go. It always goes to the bank. The bank is the trustee. We don't talk about that enough. The money does not go to us. We never let you make checks out to us. It needs to go to Nevada Trust, and they are the trustee. They're responsible for your money, and everything goes into your account, not anybody else's, okay?
Okay, fair enough. And finally, what is your phone number for people to call?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Call us and we'll talk to you.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.